You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked On Angels today, the resident socius cynic. I am here to welcome you back to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Okay, well, let's just get this out of the way. It was a forgettable weekend for the Angels, a forgettable week for the Angels. I mean, 2-8 over the last 10, losers over the last 5. Houston was just an absolute mess. Over this 5-game losing streak, they've gotten outscored. I think it's like 53-12 or something like that. Like, it's just, it's laughable. But hey, season's winding down. We got 3 with Texas, 3 with Oakland back at the Big A this week. And I'm really glad it's not the other way around. I'm glad the A's aren't coming to town first, because that would probably mean that we get Oakland celebrating in our visitor clubhouse, which I just hate. I don't like that. I don't like when people celebrate in our territory, you know? So we get 3 games against the Texas team that has been pretty awful. Worse than us, honestly. Felix Pena, Matt Shoemaker, Andrew Heaney going to the mound. If you haven't gotten to a game at the Big A, now's the time to go. Tickets are cheap. Tickets are cheap. Go out there. Support your Angels. We're going to be without baseball for quite some time. So get your fix in. That's all I have to say. But we are going to go over to our interview with Stu Matthews, as we've been doing every Monday. And then we're going to close out the show with your trivia question answer from last week. But we're going to send it over to Stu Matthews right after these messages. All right, Halo fans, we'd like to welcome back Stu Matthews, staff writer for Halo's Heaven, back on the podcast today, as we've been doing every Monday. Stu, how are you doing today?
Hey, Lucas, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Busy weekend, man. Oh, well, you know, I burned up like 3 scorebooks trying to watch the Angels last week. It's just like I ran out of pages. Gave up a lot of runs and didn't score very many.
Yeah, you ran out of pages for the other team, because ours was a forgettable week, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, let's just dive right into it. I mean, we return home for our last 6 games of a pretty brutal 2018 season. Losers of our last 5, and we're 2-8 in our last 10. So, safe to say, I think we're playing our best baseball at the right time, right, Stu?
Absolutely, exactly what you want for that late season push. Oh, it just wasn't the way we wanted it, and you know, we gotta show up and force at the Big A and see Mike Sosa off. I think he deserves that.
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna, you know, start with my first question before we go into what is our studs and duds, but I'm just gonna call it duds and duds. But what are you looking forward to with this last upcoming week in the season? What's something that you're going to get excited about with this baseball team?
Well, I guess, you know, there are maybe a couple of kind of futile goals to, you know, some awards. Maybe Shohei can cement that Rookie of the Year campaign a little bit. Mike Trout probably isn't going to be in the MVP hunt. But mostly, I'll be kind of wanting to hear what's happening with Socia and the future of the club. I mean, the season's done, and we have to accept it, and so we're going to have to get used to the idea of what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think my big thing, I think this whole week at Angel Stadium, I think is going to be a big Mike Socia week overall. Mm-hmm. And kind of seeing him off, I think, well, I mean, as the Socia cynic, I can't say I'm not excited to see him go. I am excited to see him go. But I think it's going to be a week of celebration for him also. We got the bobblehead coming. I'm sure they'll eventually have some kind of ceremony for him. But the writing's on the wall for Mike Socia. Oh, and so I think that this week we can essentially kind of see him off the way that he should be seen off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember the day that he walked in the door. And I remember what he said, because I covered his introductory press conference. That was back in 1999 when he took over for Terry Collins. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying, there won't be many rules. There won't be many policies. You know, I just want the guys to practice hard, prepare hard, play hard. And look, for like more than 3,000 games in 19 years, and you count it in spring training, you're looking at maybe, what, another 1,000?
Yeah.
This guy's managed a lot of baseball. If he wants to call it a day, who could blame him?
Yeah.
Who could blame him?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I'm longest tenured manager in almost, I think, all of sports right now. Other than I think
maybe
Greg
Popovich.
Yeah. I think Popovich is the only other one that's kind of got him beat on that. But, I mean, you can't argue that he's done a lot for the ball club. I mean, obviously we get the World Series win with him. I don't know. I mean, you've been around Mike a lot more than I have. What's your favorite Mike Socia story?
Oh, there's so many. We could probably talk about it after the season's over more, Lucas.
Once we know he's gone.
Well, exactly. I think we'll maybe get an announcement after the season, maybe before. I don't know when, but I'll always fondly remember going in as a beat writer and then just having Socia time in the dugout, and he'd just sit there on the bench, and he was in his domain, you know, in his domain. And, you know, just the reporters all gathered around, asked the regular questions, the stuff that's on the record, and then he would just want to talk baseball, you know, and there's nobody who knows more about baseball than that guy. I mean, find somebody. So it was just always fun to hear what he would say coming out of his brain, all those games that he played in and managed, just an absolute fountain of knowledge on the game. And that's my favorite is the Socia talk, let's talk baseball time. Mm-hmm. And he would joke, you know, he'd joke if like people were still taking notes, he would joke and say, tape recorder's off. And then he would say the exact same thing he was saying before.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see if he gets some kind of position with any other organization. I know there's a lot of people, maybe in LA, that kind of think that he's going to start heading back over that way. Somebody pointed something out to me that the last two World Series in Southern California baseball have revolved around Mike Socia, essentially, yeah. With 2002 and then 1988 with the Dodgers. So,
you're right.
Maybe he's the only guy that can get it done for Southern California. Maybe he needs to go to the Padres. They need a little bit of help down there.
I guess.
But let's change gears. So, I mean, I'm going to call this Duds and Duds of the Week, because I could have a stud, and it'd be Mike Trout, because he's the only person that I really thought did well this week. So that's why I'm just going to call it Duds and Duds. I don't know. Do you have any studs, Stu?
Yeah, I mean, it's a reach. You know, it's a reach. You know, the team got outscored 58 runs to 13 or something like that. So it's not easy to find studs. But yeah, Trout, okay. He didn't play yesterday, but he homered three games prior to that.
Yep.
He had a great week. But there's a couple random guys. Like Justin Upton put himself on the list. He now has the most home runs hit by a left fielder in Angels history, taking Garrett Anderson's spot.
That's
GA, great player, and Justin Upton has hit 30. The defense was awesome again this past week. So, you know, these are positive. Fernando Arcia, how about him?
Yeah, that's the only other guy I would have put on this list.
Yeah, well, was it the 21-3? Yeah, 21-3 loss, and that's a football score. Okay,
yes,
that's
it is.
Three touchdowns and a field goal, and he caught the first seven innings. Then he pitched the eighth and the ninth, and he hit a homer.
And he
in the
hit
ninth.
A homer. Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's a versatile guy.
I know. I just thought it was so funny, like. Arcia, like, it was coming out on all the baseball websites and stuff. Oh, he's the first guy to pitch, catch, and hit a home run in an MLB game since, like, 1900. And I'm like, oh, gosh, like, this is what we've come to this season. Is, like, we're, as an Angels fan, as an Angels organization, we're, like, really getting excited because in a blowout loss, we're let's not look at the score. Let's just think of, like, kind of the sideshow stuff that's going on right now with Francisco Arcia, man. Oh, my gosh. Frankie A. Gotta love him.
I mean, it's like, yeah, you may as well, like, let's compare Andrelton Simmons to Montus Wagner. You know, I mean, if you're going to go that far back. But, yeah, I mean, we're reaching for rainbows right now.
I agree. So, I've got two duds, and they're not, like, specific. It's more all-encompassing of some of the things that I've seen over this last week. So my first dud is starting pitchers, and because they were not good. Heaney looked bad. Skaggs looked bad in Houston. The Matt Shoemaker start in Oakland was forgettable. And it's not good when we've talked about how these three guys specifically – could be realistically mixing into the conversation in our starting rotation going into next season, and we're getting starts like this out of them. It is not good. The only person that seemed to really put together any kind of good start this week was Jaime Barria, and as he's been doing, you know, kind of time in and time out as he takes the mound. But I think this just shows that we really need pitching help this offseason. I think we've talked about it enough, but we're still not getting it out of these guys. And, like, Heaney and Skaggs, we thought they were going to be kind of our horses this season. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced at all.
Well, again, it was supposed to be Ohtani and Richards. But we can't project the rotation. Charlie Morton might be an Angel next year. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So it's just, I do agree with you. The starting pitchers didn't have a good week, but you know, week to week, they're not always going to, unless you've got Clayton Kershaw or, unless you've got Max Scherzer or Jacob DeGrom.
Jacob DeGrom, yeah. Well, he's had a season.
Yeah.
All right. So, who's your first stud or dud?
Well, he was a stud last week. I'm just going to mention him quickly. Ty Buttrey.
Yeah.
You know, he blew up finally. That's about it. I mean, I don't know. How about duds? I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles beating the Colts, they won, and Mike Trout was watching that game yesterday instead of hitting more. I don't know. I've got nobody. Injuries. How about injuries?
Yeah.
Simmons went down yesterday. So, you know, 25 different players have been on the DL this season,
mm-hmm.
and that's most in the major leagues by far. Okay, and I'm talking to you, Yankees fan, okay? Don't tell me about how banged up you've been, because the Angels have had to use 60 players, and
we've been a mess. We've been an absolute mess.
I'm going to go to
my last dud, and this is the title of this dud that I'm going to say is, it's the players I didn't get to see in September / the players I did get to see in September. And what I mean by that is when we were coming into September, I was on this podcast and I was like, this September, we're going to be able to see Matt Tace. We're going to see Griffin Canning. You know, once David Fletcher got hurt, I thought maybe we'd even see Luis Rengifo maybe get a little shot at second base. And I'm just a little disappointed that we didn't get to see any of those guys. I mean, we finally have a legitimate talent pool of kids that I think are ready, and nobody really came up with the exception of Taylor Ward, and he was the only prospect that got called up this September that I think in the Angels Nation we were excited to see, and ultimately he's kind of flopped. And on the flip side of this, right, all the people that did get called up and that we did get to see, they didn't make me excited. What did we got to watch? What, Joe Hudson? Now we get Sherman Johnson, Jose Fernandez. None of the pitchers excited me, other than, like we just mentioned, Ty Buttrey. I mean, even Williams Harris has shown flashes that he can be good, but he has also shown flashes that he is very human. So overall, sure. I'm just really disappointed in some of the decisions that got made and like the fact that we didn't get extended looks at some of these guys that could ultimately be our future.
It would have been nice, but again, you're looking at until the CBA gets fixed, you know, Epler's being careful with those guys, with a guy like Ringifo and Canning, you're talking about service time, yeah. And you don't want to start their clocks this year because that means you lose another year of club control down the road. So if you do actually are viewing a guy like Ringifo or Canning, those types of players, you don't want to bring them up at the end of this year. You'd rather use them next year.
And
it's like what the Braves did with Acuna, and you know, yeah. It happens all the time now.
Yeah, and I agree with that. My thing with Canning was my specific one that I thought it was time for him to come up because obviously pitching is a big question mark moving forward. And I don't think it would have necessarily been a bad idea to start his clock in September if we saw, hey, this kid could pitch at this level. We're going to use him for next season because it helps us figure out what we need to do in the offseason also. It figures out how many holes we need to fill, essentially. That's why I thought Canning was going to get a look, and the clock issue wasn't necessarily going to be a problem with him. But I don't know. Epler had different decisions.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things that Billy is on his plate. And he probably already has a big laundry list of pitchers that he's looking for right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's under no illusions that starting pitching is going to be a priority. So I think he would just rather start, Canning, get his clock going in May next year. Because then you got 6 years of a controllable pitcher.
Yeah. And which is nice.
Look at the really Mets. Nice. They got DeGrom. They still have him under control. So it's an advantage to keep a guy like that.
Definitely. All right. Did you have another stud or dud?
Not really.
No?
I mean, not really.
The team.
No.
Angels.
I think if I have to name another dud, it's just going to be the fans. Because, on Halo's Heaven, it's a community as well as like a journalistic website. And so there's just so much negativity. I just wish that would kind of get erased. I mean, I do understand, it's been another bad year, 3 years in a row now. Mm-hmm. And everybody was expecting a lot more, but I just wish the fans would just perk up a little bit, realize that, these things are cyclical in nature.
It's tough being, I mean, as both of us are fans, and I think we all came in with so many expectations for this season. So to see kind of the flop that it was really disappointing. But, 3 million fans again into Angel Stadium for how many years in a row now? Is it 18?
Awful lot, you know.
I mean, that's impressive.
There were a lot of empty seats out there, too. People didn't go to the games. They had a ticket, but they didn't show up. So, I mean, again, it's fan apathy. You need to put a winning product out there on the field. And I have a lot of faith in Epler to be able to do that.
Yeah, I agree also. All right, trivia question?
Let's see if I can get you. Okay, you're leading 3-0. I'm not sure if I can even come back. Let's see. Okay. Well, I'll have to stretch your history knowledge. Mm. Okay. Mike Trout now has 3 seasons before his age 27 season with 30 homers and 20 stolen bases. Only one other player has done that. Can you name that guy?
One other baseball player?
Yeah. In history has done that 3 seasons before age of 27 with 30 homers and 20 steals.
And not an Angel.
No, let's put it this way. I was too young to have seen much of this guy's career. So, yeah, you'll have to go into your history knowledge.
This is going to be tough. No, it wouldn't have been him.
Played for the Giants, New York Giants. Played for the Atlanta.
Then it must have been like for the Giant, like Hank Aaron.
No, it was Willie Mays.
Willie Mays. Kid. Okay. Yep.
So there's a legend of the game. That's the kind of company Mike Trout's keeping.
Yeah, and you know what's great is like every year we get stats like that, right? Where it's like, yeah, we're seeing something that hasn't been done since Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio and stuff like that. And right, that's, he's a generational talent. I hope the contract extension gets done.
I do too. When do you think that might, when do you think it makes sense to approach that?
So I think, well, it seems like we're going to go to the table with an offer soon. It sounds like, at least once the season's over. So I think it's not going to get signed until we see what Machado and Harper do, unless, uh-huh, unless we see an offer given to him that Harper and Machado won't even come close to. So I think if we're going to give him like one of those kind of conventional like baseball contracts, 10 years, X amount of money, then I think we're going to wait to see what Harper and Machado do, just because obviously he's more valuable than those guys and yeah, he deserves more money. We don't want to lowball him. But if we give him a, if we give him a contract that it's like, all right, you know what, we're going to pay you until like a Bobby Bonilla thing, we're going to give you $10, $15 million a year until 2070, which I think would kind of be good for the team, 'cause we're not handcuffed payroll wise. But if we do something like that, I think I could see that getting signed sooner rather than later.
Well, I'm glad you got some optimism there. I guess it depends on the man, the big man with the mustache who's writing the checks.
Yeah.
Or Artie Moreno. But I've definitely heard what you've heard, that they're ready to give Trout even a lifetime extension. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be opposed to that.
No,
I mean, I know that it's with Albert Pujols,
it's hard.
It was a different story, but you know, nobody really knew how old he was when mm-hmm. he signed that deal. And Mike Trout, we know he's 27 years old, you know? So if you give him a 10-year deal, or if you give him a lifetime deal, you're going to get an awful lot of his prime, the rest of his prime, and then the waning years, which hopefully would not be as painful as what we've had to see with Pujols.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think, I mean, talking contract stuff, if we sign him to 2070, let's say, at $10 to $15 million a year, like I said, it doesn't handcuff us much like we did get handcuffed with Pujols. And in that time frame, we can throw as much money as we want at a guy and say, hey, you get to play with Mike Trout for the rest of your career. And that's something that's pretty sick. And after Trout's done playing, he's still going to be under a contract. Make him the new manager. Heck,
why not?
Make him a player manager right now.
I mean, these things haven't, I mean, surprises have come. I mean, the Angels have Shohei Ohtani for the next 6 years. They got him practically for free. Mm-hmm. I mean, a $2.1 million signing bonus was all they paid for that guy.
Yep.
And you've got one of the best hitters in the American League for next year. So you never know. I mean, I would love to see Ohtani and Trout playing together for a long, long time.
As would I. Well, let's wrap it up, Stu. It was another great conversation. Thanks for coming on, bud.
Hey, thank you, Luke. Thank you for your time. I appreciate talking to you as always. And I guess maybe we'll talk again next Monday.
Yeah, just to close out the season.
Kind of put a bow on it.
Exactly. All right, Stu, have a good one today, bud.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right. All right, we're back. Great sit down with Stu. That was one of my favorite talks we had. I think considering the end of the season and you know what it is, it's great to hear that at least somebody that covers this team is still hopeful, you know, because I definitely am not. But let's get you that answer from your trivia question from last week. The question was, Francisco Garcia has a 9 ERA this season in his appearances, his three innings that he's pitched. There are two players on the current roster that have a higher ERA. Who are they? And I am not including, there is somebody that is on the DL with a higher ERA. The person that's on the DL is JC Ramirez. He has a 9.45 ERA. But the two answers to this question, we got Miguel Almonte and Parker Bridwell. two studs this season. Miguel Almonte sporting a nice even 12 ERA. And Parker Bridwell, a forgettable 20.65 ERA. This is just great, guys. Love it. Especially Parker Bridwell. Oh my gosh, we had so much hope for that guy coming into the season. And, well, I mean, he didn't pitch a lot for the Angels this season, but even down in AAA this year, very forgettable season for him, unfortunately. But that's all we have today. I'll be back on Wednesday talking all things Angels. Getting us headed towards the end of the season, guys. The train is moving fast. Maybe not fast enough for some of this stuff that's been going on with this ball club right now. Let's just get to a contract extension with Mike Trout. How about we do that? Anyway, I'm Lucas Sardo. You can find me on my personal Twitter at LucasSardo13. Also, be sure to check out our show's Twitter page, Locked On Angels, for all the updates regarding the show. And you can go to our website, LockedOnAngels.com, to listen to the podcast. If you have any questions or comments or concerns, shoot us an email, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. That's all for today. Get out to the Big A. Have a good time at the ballpark. Go Halos. Adios.